Despite the legends we teach school children of Washington as an infallible leader, the inevitable victor in a path-breaking war of independence, he actually began commissioning spies, the most necessary of all the assets at any general's disposal, quite reluctantly. Espionage, he had noted on the outskirts of Boston just a year earlier, was a dastardly enterprise almost entirely without place in a war between civilized men. Chronicler of the American Revolution, Frank Moore, wrote in his diary in 1780, "Washington has a great antipathy to spies, even though he employs them himself." And so it was that this man who so hated spies would rely upon them to bring victory against the British. The key change of heart for Washington came after his retreat north of what is now 172nd Street in Manhattan, atop Harlem Heights, now Morningside Heights. With his adversary securely bivouacked just miles to the south, the conventional methods of reconnaissance Washington had early relied upon could no longer yield the actionable intelligence he required. More covert means of gathering information were necessary. The upright planter from Virginia understood only then that his best recourse was to turn to lowly spies or risk being outmaneuvered. But the veteran military commander ironically knew very little of the spy trade. Washington nevertheless realized that he needed a disguised observer who could document the enemy's movements from relative safety. Enter Captain Nathan Hale. A Connecticut native and Yale graduate of the class of 1773, the schoolmaster-turned-soldier was intensely patriotic and fervently religious. Eager to prove himself, the young lieutenant colonel had volunteered to go behind enemy lines during the first days of September 1776, but he had been consistently refused. A member of Thomas Knowlton's famous Rangers, a hand-picked squad of frontier marksmen, Hale was in theory well-suited for this job. Moreover, the energetic officer fit the mold of a trustworthy spy perfectly. He was a young idealist. "I am not influenced by the expectation of promotion or pecuniary reward," he told a concerned friend, fellow Yalie, and future General William Hull, on the eve of his mission. "I wish to be useful, and every kind of service necessary to the public good becomes honorable by being necessary. If the exigencies of my country demand a peculiar service, its claim to perform that service are imperious." Washington could not have asked for a better man, or so he thought. Desperate for intelligence about the British plans, the rebel general asked Hale if he would kindly extend his services once again. Hale, of course, obliged, and in doing so, he began a curious relationship between his alma mater, Yale University, and American espionage services that continues to this day. The two immediately set to work outlining a mission. The result was innovative for novices of the trade. Hale would infiltrate behind enemy lines by sea through a supposedly unguarded back door into occupied New York. Instead of landing directly onto occupied territory, he would come ashore on Long Island by way of Norwalk, Connecticut, crossing the Long Island Sound under cover of darkness. From there, he would make his way westward toward the Royal Army's forts at Brooklyn, traveling in the guise of a loyalist schoolteacher with diploma and all. Along the way, he would record his observations of baggage trains and transport ships, carefully noting anything that remotely revealed Howe's intentions. Once finished, he would make his way back to Washington's headquarters. Hale was under orders never to set foot in Manhattan. It was simply too risky. His mission, therefore, was not a radical departure from conventional reconnaissance. Hardly a spy in the modern sense, Hale would become little more than a masqueraded scout. Unfortunately for the young captain, the supposedly inconspicuous back door through which he entered British-occupied territory was, in fact, very well guarded. As Hale disembarked from the armed sloop the Schuyler during the early hours of 16 September 1776, he unknowingly entered the territory of a veteran British spy hunter, Major Robert Rogers. Like Washington, Rogers, the son of a Scotsman who called New Hampshire his home, had fought with the British during the French and Indian War. He had led an elite scouting unit made up mostly of fellow Scots. Dubbed Rogers Rangers, their mission, according to the British Commander-in-Chief, William Shirley, had been to make discoveries of proper routes for troops, procure intelligence of the enemy's strength and motions, destroy their magazines and settlements, pick up small parties, and keep them under continual alarm. And they had succeeded brilliantly, becoming the favored pathfinder unit of the British armed forces during that conflict. Unlike Washington, however, Rogers had remained loyal to the British during the Revolutionary War. On 6 August, just over a month before Howe captured New York, Rogers had accepted a commission as a privateer, charged with harassing rebel shipping in Long Island Sound. Rogers briefly spotted the Schuyler along with her escort, the Montgomery, while aboard one of the raiders he had contracted, the Halifax, but he was unable to catch her. He immediately suspected a rebel covert operation was underfoot. An informant confirmed his suspicions the following day, reporting that he had seen the elusive vessel briefly in port. 2 men had gone ashore, this man said, a civilian and a soldier, but only the latter had returned. The battle-hardened veteran instantly understood that the rebels had inserted a spy. Figuring that the intruder would head west along the coast toward Brooklyn, the most valuable and most obvious target, he and his several men immediately set off after him. Rogers caught up with Hale just a few days later and carefully watched the odd traveler from a distance. Realizing that he would need a full confession to condemn him, Rogers waited for the perfect opportunity, approaching Hale at a tavern while his men looked on. There he convinced the unsuspecting Hale that he too was a patriot sympathizer. Hale, relaxed from drink and overjoyed at having found a friend, disclosed his entire mission in full. Rogers arrested him on the spot and immediately brought Hale before his superior officer. General Howe condemned America's first spy, Nathan Hale, to be hanged for espionage on 22 September, less than a week after Washington had abandoned Lower Manhattan. Howe had been in the middle of planning a major offensive when he signed the death sentence. Hale was just 21 years old.